No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where, oh shit, it's episode 10.
10 years, man! 10 years! 10 years! 10! 10 years! 10 years!
I freaked out, I joined the army, I worked for the government, I went into business with myself, I'm a professional killer.
Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host, and welcome to episode 10. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we finally made it to episode 10, hitting the double digits, given on this day, 10 February 2019. It's been a long time coming, and I'm really glad to be here to talk to you all about shit. Read your emails, discuss your comments and points of view. Why? Because you make this show great. So, jumping right into it, and speaking of great, we have an email from our librarian in response to last week's show. So Leslie writes, lots of food for thought in your latest episode. Be a guest? Sure, that would be fun. So now what I need to do is step up my podcasting skills and refresh my memory on how we do this, Leslie, because it's been such a long time since I did a duet on a podcast, if that's the right vernacular. So I ask that you bear with me on this. Once I get all the logistics in place and make all the coordination, I'll let you know, but we will get this done. She also responds to my poopy diaper comment by saying, I could have used shit-filled diaper, but I was trying to be ladylike. And I'm obviously an influence of some sort because you did use the phrase crayon green poop. Touche, Leslie, touche. But not that I forgot. This reminded me that I basically registered this show. Sorry, I was flubbing there for a second. I basically registered this show on iTunes as explicit in nature, the rating of E, if you will. And there was a reason for that, a very good reason. The reason being is, depending on the subject that I'm speaking about on a podcast will determine how amped up I get, upset, or passionate about. And with passion comes a little bit of a higher tempo of language for me, dropping such words as fuck, shit, motherfucker, damn, screw, son of a bitch, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. Maybe with the exception of the C word, but there was a reason why I did it. But based on that comment, why the fuck am I holding back? I have no idea. So Leslie, you have, not that you need it, my permission to toss that over-the-shoulder boulder holder away, let the boobies fly, and talk as much shit as you want. I, certainly we, will not love you any less. Anyway, she goes on to say, I found your comments about gay/transgender military members interesting. I haven't served, but if an individual can do the job, more power to them in my book. But as a taxpayer, I'm not sure I want to pay the associated cost with top and or bottom surgery. Your librarian had to read up on it, and I learned a lot. The surgeries are expensive, and for men transitioning to women, there can be additional surgical procedures to feminize the face. I had no idea. And Leslie, consequently, I didn't have any idea either. But she goes on to say, I think money would be better spent on wounded service members and veterans as well as homeless vets. Leslie, I couldn't agree more. But to be clear, I have nothing against the LGBT community. But with the high suicide rate of our military veterans, I feel our focus should be on taking care of them. And the military shouldn't be leveraged as an option for continued surgeries of that specific nature at the government or for better, you know, to say it better, the taxpayers' expense. Anyhow, moving on, she further expounds upon education by writing, more and more students here cannot write cursive and can't read it either. Now that pretty much fucking blows my mind because in the back of my brain, I don't understand that. How could you not understand cursive? And that could be just, you know, that's how my brain is trained, right? That is how I think. These are my thoughts that when we were back in grade school, you know, we were taught how to print or handwrite regular letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through Z, taking those letters, forming them into words, taking words and putting them together to form sentences. And then, you know, once we were, you know, well-trained in that respect, then we went to cursive and did the same thing. So again, in the back of my mind, I just can't conceive that this is even remotely possible. So I know that it's hard to believe, but what's been pointed out to me that if you don't train your brain, you're not going to be able to understand it. So for example, I don't know how to write in shorthand. Therefore, I won't be able to read it. Make sense? So I'm curious, this brings up something in the back of my mind as well. If based on the comment that students cannot write cursive and can't read it either, how do they sign their names? Or do they sign anything anymore? Do they do a traditional wet signature? Do they print and scribble? I'm really curious to know. But I'm also curious because I don't know. I'd like to know, was it for the sake of time that the school boards or whomever's responsible for curriculum changes in education, why did they decide to take cursive out of the classrooms? I mean, did they feel that in today's society with technology and productivity applications like Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word, and I know there's like Keynote, you know, Mac has got their own thing. Of course, now you could even use Microsoft on Mac. So it's cross-platform now. But because of technology today, did that put the board members and the educational system, whoever's responsible, force them to take the opinion that we need to take cursive out of the classrooms because it's no longer a relevant thing, you know, in today's age, that it needs to be taken out? But if they took it out and you're telling me that students don't know how to read or write cursive, I think that's a bit of a problem. Especially, you know, at some point, you know, you can't always rely on technology that, okay, fine, they may know how to print, but writing cursive, I mean, that's a style. That's something that's particular to an individual. I know when I developed my signature, it took a number of years for me to find my flair, but and that's not even relevant, right? So I don't know. Maybe they just looked at it from the point that it's no longer needed. They wanted to focus more on education. Where could we cut corners to give more time to, say, math or English, or whatever their poison was for that week, per se. And it's kind of sad because if it already hasn't become, is it currently a lost art? And if it is, that's pretty sad in my opinion. Anyway, our librarian goes on to say, how will future historians cope with handwritten manuscripts? They probably won't have to. Libraries are digitizing their manuscript collections at a rapid pace. Now I'm curious about how quick they're going to be done. You know, what's their estimated time of completion here? And then the other thing, thinking forward, if you currently have this generation where there's a number, I won't say it's 100%, but, or maybe a great percentage, I don't know, of students who cannot only write, but cannot read cursive language, that any of those manuscripts that are digitized, that are written in cursive, if you will, how many generations forward is it going to be where it's at the point that that specific generation, say 2030, 2040, maybe even 2050, is going to look at it and try to transcribe cursive handwriting in the same way that we try to revive a dead language like Sanskrit? I don't know. That would be really curious. I'd love to be the fly on the wall at that point in time to try and see, hey, what's happening? What's going on with that? It'd just be interesting, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm going off tangent. I apologize. Anyway, she goes on to say, today's students would benefit from more rote learning. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the word for this week is rote. R-O-T-E. It's a noun and is defined as mechanical or habitual repetition of something to be learned. So, for you men out there who finally figured out that hand action maneuver and applied it in the bathroom, telling your mom you were combing your hair, well, there you go. Rote learning. Do you see what I did there? Did I do that right, Leslie? I cracked myself up. Anyway, Leslie goes on to say, you're correct. Students don't want to double check, cross-reference their facts, library databases or Google, they are satisfied, usually, with the first page of results, which irritates the hell out of their instructors. And I couldn't tell you how many times they've asked me, the instructors, mind you, they have asked me why they don't look farther or deeper. Lazy, perhaps? They expect instant gratification? I suffer from terminal curiosity and rarely meet students with that affliction. Thus, the satisfaction of first page results. I agree with that. I can see where that can ring true. Really, I do. But my question to you is, Leslie, do the instructors let this slide? To be clear, I don't want to assume that any educational institution would stand for giving or providing a passing grade to a student who doesn't put forth the effort. Now, I know my teachers back in the day, and Leslie, I'm sure yours were the same, that they would never necessarily ask why I didn't dig deeper into a subject. They would just give me a low or failing grade for lack of effort. Now, they might have little notes written on the paper, but that was your indicator why you didn't do well. And if you took it with a grain of salt and applied yourself the next time, chances are you're going to have a better grade. But they certainly didn't pull you aside or ask those questions. You got what you deserved. So I look at it from the standpoint, are the students satisfied with the lower grade as long as they pass the class? I mean, what are their professors, what are their instructors, what are their teachers giving them? I'm just really curious. Now, furthermore, let me explain why I'm curious and let me explain why I asked that question. Because a personal experience with me is this. In one of my courses, I had to write a white paper on communication. I spent about a little bit more than a week researching and writing my paper, basically until my words started to mesh together and my eyes bled, right? I turned it in and got an A, 100%. Wow, great, awesome. I was really stoked, right? But a couple of days later, I decided to reread my paper and found two huge, huge grammatical errors. And there was no way that they should have been missed at all. I went back to the professor and broached the subject with her, and she proceeded to tell me that she saw the errors but overlooked them because of the amount of time and effort I put into my research, using proper citations and quotes, and doing everything else I was supposed to do in accordance with her instructions, things that some of my other classmates failed to do. She further went on to say that even the best writers make mistakes. Well, I asked her to basically reevaluate and change my grade anyway. Because in my opinion, a mistake is a mistake. This wasn't a draft paper, and it was my final product. So I wound up getting a 98%, and I was happy with that. I mean, I wasn't being a grade grubber, never was a grade grubber. I just have standards and really a firm belief that we, students, need to be held to a standard, and at the same time, teachers need to be held to a standard. These are the individuals that are providing us our education. However, on that note, if a student is clearly happy with the low grade and it seems as though the teachers, professors, instructors are fighting an uphill battle on a one-way street and getting them to do better, then I understand. You know, you just can't beat a student with a switch. See what I did there? Moving on. Our librarian, Leslie, continues. Now, Leslie, before I go on, I love your responses. Have I told you that? Okay, well, now you know. Okay, anyway, she goes on to say, that word salad bit from Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez, I'm just going to start saying Miss Cortez now. That whole hyphenated thing is really fucking me up. Anyway, she said that word salad bit from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did not make much sense, but I did think she made a good point that folks in Congress shouldn't get paid during the government shutdown. I completely agree, they shouldn't. But again, she follows with, I don't quite know what to think about her. My dear Leslie, I don't know what to think about her either. Now, I've seen her on video interviews on both local and national shows, and I'm beginning to think from one vantage point that she's out of her depth. And she really doesn't interview well. Stupid comment, I don't know who voted her in, but I feel they ate one too many Tide Pods, right? And so let me further explain. And I'll come back around with this here, but just hear me out for a second. Just as an example, on PBS's Fireline, or is it Firing Line? It might be Fireline. There, the host, Margaret Hoover, asked Alexandria or Ocasio, fuck it, Miss Cortez. Sorry, I don't just, the whole hyphenated thing with her name, just the way, it doesn't trip off the tongue well. Excuse me, coffee. But anyway, so the host, Margaret Hoover, asks Miss Cortez this question. Do you think that capitalism has failed to deliver for working class Americans or is no longer the best vehicle for working class Americans? Miss Cortez, well, I think the numbers that you just talked about is part of the problem, right? Because we look at these figures and we say, oh, unemployment is low. Everything is fine, right? Well, unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. Unemployment is low because people are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week and can barely feed their kids. And so I don't think that right now, when we have this no holds barred Wild West hypercapitalism, what that means is profit at any cost. Capitalism has not always existed in the world, and it will not always exist in the world. When this country started, we were not a capitalist. We did not operate on a capitalist economy. Now, slowing down, processing what I just read again, I sit here and look at this and I'm having a huge what the fuck moment. Simply because, now, while I'm not a politician, a lot of the language I don't understand, some of what I pay attention to, which applies to me and others as well, I do pay close attention to, but I don't understand all the nuances that come into play. I have a very basic knowledge of it. But when I read this transcript from a show that was done back, I believe, in June of last year, I don't even know what to say. I really, really am out there flapping when I read this. And I'm sure others probably feel the same way. And the rest of the interview, you know, to Margaret Hoover's credit, God bless her. You could see her body language in the same, basically, she was raising eyebrows the same way I am right now, although you can't visually see me. But she did not throw Miss Cortez under the bus. She surely did not berate her at any point in the interview, which, again, kudos on that. But at the same time, deep down inside and just looking at the overall body language, utilizing emotional intelligence, I would surmise that Miss Hoover was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she did everything, mind you, she did everything to try and get her on track, to get Miss Cortez to clarify a few things. And it was like this blank stare. It was like Miss Cortez was lost in thought and trying to recollect the information, rewind into her brain, and even probably saying to herself, what the fuck did I just say? Now, from another standpoint too, I'll give Miss Cortez the benefit of the doubt, right? Maybe, just maybe, she has a wealth of knowledge. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been elected or put in her position that she's in now, right? And maybe, just maybe, because I think I've fallen victim to this too, where I know a lot of information. I know a lot. I'm very wise in a particular subject or many subjects. But sometimes people don't pay attention or connect the proper language, the proper acronyms, those key vernaculars that allow us to articulate and get a point across. And I don't think that Miss Cortez was actually making the right connections when she's talking about this topic of unemployment and capitalism, in that just nothing made sense in what she was saying at all. And there have been other interviews similar in nature where I deem them just to be as incoherent with her responses as this transcript right here. Unless it's me and I'm out of my depth, I don't know. I'm curious to know what you all think. So, Leslie, thank you for your email responses. I most definitely need to get you on the show, and I will get to you soon on this once I figured out everything and make all the coordination. So, moving on, ladies and gentlemen, I want to move into a new segment that I call, or we call, Media Beans. At least that's the title we're using for now. And this is where we talk a little bit more about our caffeine consumption and who is responsible this week for fueling us here at Caffeine Driven Media. So last week I mentioned I would be talking about Iron Bean Coffee Company. Now, what I want to do is I want to restate that Iron Bean Coffee Company is not a sponsor of the show. We don't have any sponsors whatsoever. It's just our opinion that here at Caffeine Driven Media that we support small businesses who share our love for coffee and other caffeinated products. We also feel that it's our duty to support these companies and get the word out there to everyone. Fair enough? Good to go. Okay. So number one, Iron Bean Coffee Company. You can find them at www.ironbeancoffee.com. Now, I wanted to correct that because I believe I said on last week's show that it was www.ironbeancoffeecompany.com. Now, if you follow that second link that I just told you about, what you'll find is it will take you to a search page, and within the search page, there are additional hyperlinks that will take you to ironbeancoffee.com. However, I owe it to both Fred and Chanel in making sure that I get the right information out to you. So the website is www.ironbeancoffee.com, and that web link will be posted in today's show notes. Matter of fact, the link will be on the page. So if you look at the bottom, you'll see a little link that says IBCC. Just click that link and it'll take you right to their website. So moving on, Fred and Chanel Diedrich, if I pronounced that correctly, are based in Toledo, Ohio, and they both share a profound love for coffee and their coffee loving fans. I would also say that both Fred and Chanel are very down to earth and the most personable people you will ever meet. Now, to be clear, I've never met them in person. However, I've had interactions with them on social media, and clearly they're a very kind-hearted couple. Furthermore, they're very active on social media and keeping everyone up to date on the goings-on at Iron Bean Coffee Company. So, for example, you can follow them on Facebook if you search for @TheIronBean, the Iron Bean all being one word. Or if you're not a Facecrack fan, Facebook, you like Facebook, utilize Facebook, whatever the case may be, but you use Instagram, you can search for them under Iron Bean Coffee Company. And you can follow them and find them on Twitter @IronBeanCoffee. And of course, if you basically frequent YouTube a great deal and you subscribe to a lot of pages, you can find them on YouTube as well just by searching Iron Bean Coffee Company. Check them out and don't forget to like and subscribe to their channel for more video updates. So circling back, Iron Bean Coffee Company, on their website, they also blog post. To their credit, they blog on a variety of stories, articles, or as they state, just plain ramblings. Now, this is everything from upcoming swag projects to how to brew your coffee. And so what I highly encourage you to do, what we encourage you to do, is to check them out on all the social platforms when you get the time, because Fred and Chanel are very entertaining to watch, listen to, and interact with. Now, Iron Bean Coffee Company has a variety of roasts, and we're going to let you peruse those coffees at your leisure. We're not going to talk about all of the coffees today. We'll cover one big one primarily. And the one that we're going to talk about today in what's fueling today's show is their Fear No Evil Black Roast. So we made it today using the Chemex method of brewing, all because we wanted the full flavor of this bold tasting coffee. And our opinion is, and mind you, we still have yet to try all their brands, but our opinion is that if you really want a kick in the balls coffee to get you jump started in the morning, this is what you need to try. Now, we won't take away from Iron Bean Coffee Company on the origins of the coffee because we want you to look and read for yourself, right? But if you're into bold flavor, dark roast coffee, we here at Caffeine Driven Media on No Syntax are giving Fear No Evil 5 coffee mugs out of 5. It's great. It is freaking awesome. So to Fred and Chanel at Iron Bean Coffee Company, thank you. We are all feeling pretty stiffy here. You know, kind of like that feeling you get when you're climbing the rope in gym class. Get what I did there? Amen. I'm sorry. Anyway, stupid comment. That's just me. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to go ahead and close the show here. This week is relatively short, but that's fine. That's okay. That's good. As long as we got this show out there today, it was very important to get episode 10 out and fill your ear hole with the goodness that is No Syntax. So we hope you enjoyed today's show and our Media Bean segment. And if you liked, and we'd also like to send a special request. I'm already screwing up, right? Leslie, I apologize. But we do want to send a special thanks to Leslie, our librarian, for her email. Leslie, we love you. Now, before I go on, and I'll reiterate this down the way, if you have any comments about the show, if there's anything that you would like to discuss via email, and you want to have some banter back and forth on this, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter, email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. That being said, No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. Want to send an email? Have comments about today's or other shows? We want to hear from you. Email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com, or post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at nosyntaxpodcast or Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, as I stated earlier, we are on iTunes, so please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. We'll still love you anyway. So thanks for listening. Have a great Monday. Have a great work week. And we'll talk to you next weekend. Take care. Yeah.